And so the next reference, J.P. Moreland, he's I think now he's still teaching out there in California at
Yes,
Biola and
still
whatnot.
going, yeah.
Yeah, he might be an emeritus professor now, but anyway, he's for many years engaged in the most sophisticated analysis, they tell us, by any classical apologist of the nature of science and of its relation to Christian theological truths. And so they suggest that the burden of Moreland's extensive research and writing on science and Christianity can be summed up in four headings. And so they're going to walk us through each one of these four headings.
Right.
So why don't you start us off?
Well, of course, the first one is that he argues against naturalism and especially scientism, that science can legitimately be practiced within the framework of a theistic worldview. Scientism is the belief that science alone yields genuine knowledge or truth. And J.P. Moreland argues that scientism is self-refuting because the claim that science alone produces truth is not learned scientifically, right? You're not titrating the scientific method out of a test tube. It's a procedure. It's a way that we find the truth, but it's not. It of itself does not produce the scientific method.
Right. So
You cut the worm.
it's a
Exactly.
philosophical claim about science.
Right.
It's
A
not a
reason. Yeah.
scientific claim.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So he documents extensively the various sorts of limits to science that preclude any sort of scientism.
Right. And so first he then argues against naturalism and specifically scientism, because scientism says, only science produces truth. Well, that's
Yeah,
ridiculous.
do
Why
you have a
we get
study for
truth?
that?
Yeah, we get truth in all kinds of ways, and the claim itself is self-refuting, right? Secondly, they point out that Moreland argues, urges caution in assuming a naivety with regard to realist views of science. So there's a distinction between realism in terms of how you view scientific theories versus some type of pragmatic or instrumentalist approach, right? And so the realist says, well, what scientific theories are supposed to do is to give us truth about the world. The entities that they posit really do exist, those types of things. So that's a realist approach. Science gives us real truth about an external reality, the world that exists. The instrumentalist, on the other hand, says, well, what is this notion of why are you worried about truth? As long as the theory works,
Right.
as long as it produces results and helps us to predict and explain, that's all we need. We don't need to say that it gives us truth about the world. So that's the distinction here that Moreland is trying to make here. And so what they say is Moreland urges caution in assuming a naively realist view of science. So although he thinks scientific theory should be understood along realist lines, right, that it gives us the truth and that sort of thing, in the absence of sufficient evidence to the contrary, he cautions that in some instances we should be reticent to grant that a scientific theory describes reality as it actually is, right? So he said he hedges his bet here. Yes, generally speaking, science and scientific theories, are aiming to give us the truth, and they often do, but we need to be careful because sometimes they don't. And so an instrumentalist view might be helpful. So notice, if the theory attempts to explain, he argues here, in totality, a phenomenon that lies outside the proper domain of science, or if it conflicts with a rationally well-established conclusion about reality, then the theory should be viewed as a construction that does not describe reality itself. So then we can move over into the instrumentalist view about science. Well, it may not be giving us the truth, right, about reality, but it's helpful, and it allows us to make predictions and that sort of thing. And so we can use the theory as long as it does that until a better one comes along. So that's this second notion that Moreland. So be cautious, he's suggesting, about the realist view of science. Yes, in general, that's the aim of science, but sometimes theories don't do that.
Right. So who knew science was so complicated? And again, this is the reasonable faiths. And so the classical model focuses on reason. And so, of course, they're going to critique any kind of view of scientific one-upsmanship here for being under the purview of reason and logic. Okay, we've done two. The third one is that Moreland explores the various models for relating science and theology and explains why the two fields should be viewed as overlapping. Over against those who would protect religion or faith from science by regulating theology to the realm of values and spiritual matters. We only talk about theology on Sundays. We do our science on Monday through Friday, and then everyone gets a day off on Saturday. Well, nope, he says that instead of regulating those two, the realm of values and spiritual matters, he insists that theology does deal with some aspects of the physical world, such as the creation by God, right? Genesis 1, let's start there. What happens? In the beginning, God creates. Oh, okay, well, now all of a sudden, we have to do science. We have to figure out how the world operates and exists and how we can harness it. And so by those questions right there, we're already through Genesis 1 through 3. Well, thus, yeah. Science and theology really do interact on common ground, and effort must be made to reconcile or integrate science and theology. You can't just have their own spheres. They must be in some way overlapping, simpatico, in relationship to each other.
All right. So notice what we have here. We've seen now at least three approaches with regard to the relationship between science and religion, we might say, or Christianity, right? First approach was this conflict approach, where they, you know, are at odds with one another, right? The second approach, which Moreland here criticizes, is this approach that says, no, they're really not at conflict because they are, you know, dealing with separate aspects of the world or of reality. Science with facts and religion with values. So that's a second approach, right? This kind of separate approach that each one takes. Moreland doesn't agree with either of those two approaches, that they're in total conflict or that they totally separate it in terms of what they deal with. His suggestion is, no, there's an interaction between science and religion and Christianity. And so we should use both to help us to see, to get a full orbed picture of the way the world is, right? So this interactionism or integration, we might say, is what Moreland is arguing for here in this third position. All right, and then finally, Moreland argues that creationism, right, can be a legitimate idea within the discipline of science. And so this is a really big claim. This actually has been argued in court, at least two major arguments in court, one in Arkansas, the other in Pennsylvania. And in both cases, design was being asked to be part of the scientific curriculum. And folks were arguing, no, it's religion and not science, right? And so Moreland argues that creationism can be a legitimate idea within the discipline of science. His main contention here is that science should not be defined in such a way as to exclude creationism a priori, right? That is, we don't even consider it from the discipline of science. His approach to science well illustrates the central method of classical apologists. His objections to scientism and naturalism, as well as to definitions of science that exclude creationism, focus on the question-begging and self-defeating nature of these positions, right? So notice, Moreland would argue something like this. If you say, well, for instance, this idea that there was a designer that created the universe based on the observations that we made. Well, there are folks that argue, no, you can't say that because that's religion and not science. Right. And we're dealing with science. And Moreland argues, no, not what we should be doing with regard to science is coming up with the best explanation. whether or not it, you know, the scientists agree with it or not. What is the best explanation for our observation? And if the best explanation is a designed universe that implies a designer, then that should be part of a scientific explanation. It is the best explanation, and that's what science is after. So that's kind of this fourth point that they're trying to make here with regard to Moreland and his arguing that creationism can be a legitimate idea within the discipline of science.
Right. Or you just have to argue that there's been no scientific breakthroughs until, what, the Enlightenment or Darwin or, I don't know, the 1900s, and clearly that's not the case.